2003, the steroid era. The game, Baltimore Orioles 6, Cleveland Indians 5 in 13 innings at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in Baltimore. Attendance 46,257 on Monday, March 31st, 2003. Weather, 30s. Blinding snow in the third, followed 15 minutes later by bright sunshine. Hall of Famers? None as of March 2022. Future Hall of Famers, maybe Indians pitcher CC Sabathia, will be eligible in 2025. Game highlights. Indians 22-year-old left-hander CC Sabathia held Baltimore in check through 7 innings, allowing only 2 earned runs. However, 5 Baltimore relievers outlasted the Cleveland bullpen in extra innings, giving up only 1 run in their 7 innings of work. Orioles' Gary Matthews Jr. ended the game with a 2-out, bases-loaded single in the bottom of the 13th. Later in the season, Sabathia would make the American League All-Star team for the first of 7 times during his 19-year career, primarily with the Indians and Yankees. He pitched more than 3,500 innings, making him one of the last great workhorses the game may ever know. He finished in the top 5 among AL Cy Young Award candidates 5 times and won the award in 2007. The story. Opening day 2003 marked the approximate and very unofficial halfway mark of Major League Baseball's steroid era. Remarkably, this would be the first season players would be subjected to any sort of testing for performance-enhancing drugs, or PEDs. It had been 15 years since the pumped-up young Bash brothers, Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire, powered the Oakland A's to the first of 3 consecutive World Series appearances. Yet it would be another 15 years before more rigorous testing, strict enforcement, and harsh consequences would allow baseball to confidently claim that, with respect to performance-enhancing drugs, it had restored the integrity of a game played by imperfect people. The use of PEDs by many players had been rumored for years, but there were few public admissions of guilt, virtually no physical evidence, and a wide array of convincing denials, fueled by a baseball media machine willing to play along. That was about to change. From 2003 to 2013, multiple federal investigations, whistleblowers, and public results from expanding testing programs combined to cast a dark shadow over a generation of players, bloated statistics, and tainted titles. Eventually, several of the game's biggest, statistically worthy stars were denied enshrinement by the voters into the National Baseball Hall of Fame. It was fittingly ironic that, for a time on this opening day at Oriole Park, the fans, quite literally, could not see what was happening on the field in front of them. A brief but intense snowstorm in the third inning caused Orioles right fielder Jay Gibbons to lose sight of a fly ball, leading to a 15-minute snow delay. Years later, we would learn Gibbons was one of several players on the Orioles roster in the early 2000s tied to PEDs, and as the public's eyes were opened in the years that followed, the Orioles would get a disproportionate amount of attention as the steroid story unfolded. In Ken Burns' 2010 documentary film, The Tenth Inning, a fitting epilogue to his 1995 masterpiece, Baseball, ESPN the magazine editor Gary Honig summed up the conflicted attitude of so many sports journalists of the era when it came to the steroid story. "You're sort of contradicting your own desires, not only personal but professional," he admitted. "On the one hand, you're thinking, gee, I should find out about this. Then on the other hand, you're thinking, do I really want to find out about this? I mean, I'm not really here to tear sports down for fans. I'm here to make sports joyous for fans." So you're living a contradiction. That contradiction was center stage in the summer of 1998. Baseballs had been flying out of ballparks at a suspiciously high clip since the days of the Bash brothers. But the epic battle in 98 between McGwire, by then with the St. Louis Cardinals, and Sammy Sosa of the Chicago Cubs, electrified the sports world. Both men shattered Roger Maris's 37-year-old single-season record of 61 home runs, Sosa with 66, and McGwire with 70. Barry Bonds upped the ante with 73 in 2001 en route to a career total of 762, seven more than Hank Aaron's all-time record. In August 1998, Associated Press reporter Steve Wilstein observed a bottle of androstenedione on visible display in McGuire's wide-open locker. At the time, Andro was a little-known over-the-counter product already banned by the International Olympic Committee and NFL, where drug testing was now routine, but it had not yet been banished by baseball. Wilstein reported what he saw and was vilified for it. Cardinals manager Tony La Russa suggested Wilstein be banned from the locker room. Even a few fellow journalists jumped on the bandwagon, pointing out Andro was not illegal in baseball. They were too wrapped up in the thrill of the Maris chase. There was not an embracing of the issue that we have a problem and we need to solve this problem, Wilstein recalled when interviewed for the 10th inning a dozen years later. There was no sense in baseball that this was the tip of the iceberg, that we need to look further to see who else is using performance-enhancing drugs. It was more, bury our heads in the sand and maybe it'll go away. It didn't go away. More and more clean players were insisting on testing, but the players' union under executive director Donald Fear objected. Interviewed for the 10th inning, Fear arrogantly and naively proclaimed, "The notion that we would willingly surrender to our employer as a price of a job all the protections we insist on from the government is a rather extraordinary notion." There was nothing extraordinary about it. According to the American Management Association, by 1996, 81% of U.S. employers subjected their employees to drug testing, including the federal government itself. Perhaps fueled by his victory in the 1994-95 strike, Fear had clearly lost touch with the world around him and was leading the union down a dark path. Also interviewed for the 10th inning, revered Hall of Fame broadcaster Bob Costas said emphatically, "The Players Association did a horrible job in this case. They should have seen this early on and said, wait a minute. How can we expect some of our players to compete at a competitive disadvantage? To either use PEDs to keep up, or don't use and inevitably fall behind. Who is it that we represent? The guilty or the innocent?" In 2003, highly confidential survey testing of players began. A new 4-year collective bargaining agreement between the owners and players had been reached in August 2002, just hours before the strike deadline. It was a historic CBA, the first reached without a strike, and the first to include random testing of major league players for steroids. However, there were strings attached. Testing in 2003 was intended only to measure the actual scope of the issue and nothing more. Results would never be made public, or so they thought, and there would be no punishments for a positive test. If more than 5% of players tested positive for a banned steroid, tougher testing and penalties would follow in 2004. In November, MLB announced the 5% threshold had been exceeded. SI.com, The New York Times, and other media outlets would report years later that the confidential 2003 list included more than 100 players. Dozens of names were leaked, including some of the game's biggest stars. Year after year, the issue continued to make headlines. The conversation shifted from professionals enhancing or prolonging their careers to younger athletes emulating the pros, putting their health and lives at risk. Every relevant government entity got involved, including congressional committees, the DEA, FBI, FDA, IRS, and more. Baseball players learned painful lessons about privacy and confidentiality. There were no more secrets. From 2003 through 2013, every time a steroid lab or similar business was investigated or raided, another client list would surface that included athletes from track and field, football, and baseball. Informants came forward from MLB locker rooms trading information for immunity. Even a few players, under oath, came clean with details not only about themselves, but about other players. The most significant example of a player exposing fellow players was Canseco. After his steroid-infused playing career fizzled, perhaps the most disliked man in baseball, wrote a tell-all book published in early 2005. He detailed his own 20-plus years of steroid use and described how he taught other players the benefits of doing the same. But the most shocking part of his book? He named past and current players he claimed were using steroids. Bolstered by a blizzard of national media attention, his book, Juiced, Wild Times, Rampant Roids, Smash Hits, and How Baseball Got Big, became a New York Times bestseller, fueled dozens more inquiries and investigations, and triggered routine denials. The ritual became all too common, regardless of the source or target. The oft-repeated script included most of the following. 1. Accusation. 2. Vehement denial. 3. Discredit the accuser. 4. Repeat the denial. 5. Evidence. 6. Discredit the evidence. 7. Acknowledge it might have happened, but don't know how. Maybe an accident. For example, I did not knowingly allow an illegal substance into my body. 8. Blame a medical professional, trainer, or teammate for providing steroids instead of vitamins. 9. Admit to making mistakes. 10. Apologize to teammates, family, and fans. 11. Move on. 12. Accept your next big money contract. Owners and general managers were increasingly concerned they might be spending tens of millions of dollars on free agent players whose market value was based on inflated statistics and whose playing days might be numbered. Non-steroid using players were outraged by the unfairness of competing for jobs on an uneven field. Both demanded a more aggressive approach. As the parties negotiated a new CBA that would take effect for the 2003 season, the owners demanded, and the Players Association reluctantly agreed, to a testing plan. Over time, random tests became more frequent, the list of covered substances expanded, testing became more sophisticated, and most importantly, punishments became more severe. In 2005, a player would be suspended just 10 games for his first failed test and wouldn't miss a full season until his fourth infraction. By 2014, the slash line was 80-162 life. The first failure cost a player 80 games. Second time, miss a season. Third time, you're done. The consequences were grave, especially for a younger player for whom a half season off the field caused proportionately greater financial pain and could permanently derail a career. When it came to Hall of Fame consideration, by 2007, the increasingly enlightened voters punished the players who passed the statistical performance tests with flying colors, but flunked the integrity, sportsmanship, character considerations specified in the Baseball Writers Association of America rules for election. In the history of the game, fewer than 300 players have been elected out of more than 15,000 who have played. Members of the 500 Home Run Club were once considered automatic. All 15 who hit 500 or more home runs and played in the 1970s or earlier are in the Hall, most elected in their first year of eligibility. Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, Frank Robinson, Harmon Killebrew, Reggie Jackson, Mike Schmidt, Mickey Mantle, Jimmy Fox, Willie McCovey, Ted Williams, Ernie Banks, Eddie Matthews, Mel Ott, and Eddie Murray. Legends all. Yet of the 13 who joined the club in the 1990s or later, only 4 have been elected. Frank Thomas in 2014, Ken Griffey Jr. in 2016, Jim Thome in 2018, and David Ortiz in 2022. 2 are not yet eligible as of 2022, Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera. The writers have made clear the other 7, McGuire, Sosa, Bonds, Rafael Palmeiro, Manny Ramirez, Gary Sheffield, and Alex Rodriguez are not welcome in Cooperstown because of their connection to PEDs. The survey testing of 2003 reportedly identified many of the game's biggest stars, and none missed a game as a consequence. 15 years later, things looked quite different. between 2017 and 2019, only 13 active players, total, over 3 years, were suspended for PED violations, according to BaseballAlmanac.com. All first-time offenders, and each missed 80 games without pay. There was only one big name on the list, eight-time All-Star second baseman Robinson Cano. His 2018 suspension came during the fifth year of a 10-year, $240 million contract and cost him nearly $12 million. With 5 years left on his contract, you'd think an 80-game punishment would be deterrent to future steroid use? Sadly, no. In November 2020, Cano became a two-time offender and was suspended for the 2021 season. It cost him another $24 million. Quote, "A superstar who now will warrant only scorn," wrote Ken Rosenthal, now senior baseball writer for The Athletic, after Cano's second suspension. "Cano has ruined his good name and almost certainly can forget about election to the Hall of Fame, an honor that seemed likely before his first suspension and still might have been possible if he had not received his second. It's fair to debate whether voting members of the Baseball Writers Association of America should make moral judgments on Hall of Fame candidates," Rosenthal continued. "But when a player proves to be a cheater, not once, but twice, the authenticity of his career is thrown into question. It's sad," he concluded, "for a player of Cano's talent might have made it to Cooperstown without PEDs. But it's also infuriating because of the lies Cano lived during at least a portion of his career and the lies others told on his behalf." End quote. The Cano story clearly is now the exception, not the rule. In 1998, the baseball world pounced on a reporter who dared to question the credibility of a hero's accomplishment. Nearly a quarter century later, the next generation of reporters is challenging the credibility of the next generation of flawed heroes. Of the 13 position players on the Orioles' 2003 opening day roster, four were later linked to PEDs: Gibbons, Gary Matthews Jr., David Segui, and Jerry Hairston Jr. From 2004 to 2005, Palmeiro, Sosa, Miguel Tejada, and Jason Grimsley would join the team, all proven or admitted steroid users. By contrast, the list of 31 players suspended between 2014 and 2020 included no Baltimore players. Times had changed. Baseball's crackdown on PEDs took too long to start and too long to implement. And while a few still make bad decisions and pay a high price, the steroid era finally appears to be over. For the box score, play-by-play, and more, visit OpeningDay5050.com.